Looking into our divine design. Next on The Balanced Word.
God has given a special package of gifts to each of us, and he has a special calling on us. And they always say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If we don't figure out what our end is, what we're supposed to look like when it's done, the end of our lives, then how in the world can we live a life of significance? Because we don't even know what we're shooting at. We don't even know who we are.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Would this be described as a low point in your life? Maybe you feel as though you've hit rock bottom and your life has little to no meaning. I think that's the case for all too many. Well, it just may be that you're in need of a change of perspective, and Psalm 39 will help us with that. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see King David move from despair to hope, and that's where God wants to take each of us when we're discouraged in life. With a look at Psalm 39, here's Pastor Dave Roth.
Psalm 39. David is in one of his down times. David was kind of on an emotional roller coaster a lot, but it's not just because he was such an emotional guy, although I'm sure that contributed to it. But when you think about his life, he went through some really tough things. He also had some great highs. Think about it, as a kid, he starts out, he becomes famous by killing a giant with a slingshot. He becomes really important as a young man, as the official troubadour to the king. But then he also became a complete mortal enemy of the king, and the king was trying to kill him. Philistines were after him as well. He lived in a cave. Ultimately, he became king, but then as things went great, he also made some mistakes that hurt him deeply, his family turning against him, and It was an interesting life that he lived. But here in Psalm 39, we see him questioning, what's the point to life? What is the meaning of life? He said, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm just trying to shut up and take it, suck it up and go for it. But man, it hurts. He says it burns within me. And we'll begin reading with verse 4. He says, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. In the middle of that section, especially in verses 5 and 6, we see what David is basically wrestling with. He's saying, what's the point to life? Life is so short. And then really, what do you get when it's all over? What's the meaning to it? Boy, you try to be a good person, and you work hard to try to succeed, and then you look at your life and go, it's like a vapor. It's like I'm walking around like a shadow, he says, playing a game, going through the motions, feeling that there's no ultimate significance to my life or meaning to who I am and what I've done. And I don't know if you've felt that way. Life being short, every man at his best is but a vapor, every man walking about like a shadow, busying themselves or making a lot of noise in vain, heaping up riches, not knowing what for. That's where David was, wondering, what's it all about? You know, a lot of songs have been written that express that kind of frustration. Is that all there is? Is this the point? David was feeling that way, and maybe sometimes you feel that way, or maybe you just try to keep busy enough so that you don't have to think about whether your life means anything or not, or thinking about the fact that life is short. It can end at any time. But what David does ultimately in this passage is something that was very wise. It shows us why, in some respects, why he was considered a man after God's heart. Because rather than just express his frustration, he directs it in the place where we need to, and that is to God himself. And as he prays here, beginning in verse 4, we see some helpful things, I think, for us to look at to get a perspective on whether or not our life means anything. Now, we don't like to think about this at all, most of us. I really don't want to sit here and reflect too much on, well, is there any point to my life? I say I'm too busy to do that, to worry about that. But the truth is, it's vitally important. It's so critically important that we reflect and consider our own lives and what they're about and what God has for us and why we are here. What were we created for? It was Socrates who said, "The unexamined life isn't worth living." If you can't really sit and think about your life and have an objective perspective on it, then what's the point? It's why so many people end their lives in despair. Why so many people just resolve themselves to say, okay, in an existential way, I'm just going to go through the motions. I'll just decide to not ask those tough questions. Years ago, there was a song that Jackson Brown wrote called "The Pretender," where he talked about how at one point he really had some hope. At one point he thought maybe the real love was a possibility. But the song was a resolution on his part to just go, I'm just going to go through the motions. He says, I'm going to rent myself a house in the shade of the freeway. I'm going to pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and do it again. He said, there was a time when I thought true love could have been a contender. But he says, are you there? Say a prayer for the pretender who started out so young and strong only to surrender. And I'm afraid a lot of people are just there. They've just decided, oh, what difference does it make? I'm just going to go through the motions and I'll just fake it because I've lost all sense of meaning in my life. Here, David starts out in his prayer by saying, Lord, make me to know my end. Now, he's not talking about, I don't believe, just let me know how long I'm going to live. He says, my life is like the breadth of my hand. It's not even a span. It's the breadth of my hand. That's it. It's short. It's a vapor. It doesn't matter. But by saying, God, let me know my end, he's praying, Lord, where does this all come down to? How does this all work out? In a sense, what he's saying is, let me know my purpose. Let me know why I'm here. Let me know, ultimately, what do you want from me? Who am I supposed to be when I grow up? And am I supposed to grow up at all? Oh, man, is that an important question for us to ask the Lord to show us. See, you can't figure it out on your own. You can't take little tests from Reader's Digest or something that'll kind of tell you who you are. Because ultimately, our end, the end of man, it's said in the catechism, is to love God and enjoy him forever. But there's an end to our life. There's an ultimate image of who we are created to be that only God can know because he's the one who created us. And what David is saying is, God, please give me a picture of where this is all headed. He wanted to see the end. It's said that if you don't see the end, if you don't know where you're headed, you have no way of knowing how to get there. I personally don't like surprises. So if someone tells me how a movie turns out, it doesn't really ruin it for me. I know that when I saw The Sixth Sense, I enjoyed knowing that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. I noticed so many more details, and I don't like to watch a movie twice, so I appreciated the person that tipped me off to that. in A Beautiful Mind, where, oh, sorry if you were planning on seeing that movie in video. In A Beautiful Mind, where some of the main characters in the movie turned out to be delusions of a schizophrenic man. That too, I heard it ahead of time. Didn't ruin the movie for me. I thought it was an excellent movie that shows a lot of what mental illness is like. But some people don't want to know the end. For me, if I get a book, here's what I do when I get a book. I read the first two chapters because I know that an author is going to say almost everything that they want to say in the first two chapters, because that's what you submit to a publisher to get them to publish a book. So I read the first two chapters and then I read the last chapter. Then I decide if I'm interested enough to read the rest of the book. Heard a story about some people who were in line to see the movie The Titanic when it came out. And in line, one person said, "Now, how many people died when the Titanic sunk?" And somebody else goes, "Thanks a lot." But when it comes to our lives, it really helps to say, what am I supposed to end up being? Who am I? God, where are you taking me? What's your calling on my life? And so this kind of reflection, this sense of starting now and saying, God, where does this end up? It's so important. I read a study one time where they interviewed, or they actually surveyed, everyone they could get a hold of who was 95 years old or more. And there are a lot of those, by the way, nowadays. There are hundreds of them. And they ask them, if you could do one thing differently or do something differently with your life, what would you have changed? And basically, almost all of the answers came down to three things. The first one was, they said, I'd reflect more. I'd take time to think about the bigger picture. The second one was, I'd take more chances. I would take more risks. The third one was, I would work towards something that would last longer than I will. I'd put my efforts and invest my resources into a legacy that would live past me. We can't even get there if we don't know what we are here for. And my bias in this is, I believe that when God made you, when he made me, he had something in mind. Something really special and powerful and useful, and that was a blessing to him. And that is what he's made us to be, how he wants to use us, the ideal place in which we can contribute, in which we can serve, in which we can enjoy and appreciate the fulfillment of feeling like, hey, my life has mattered. God has given a special package of gifts to each of us. And he has a special calling on us. And they always say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If we don't figure out what our end is, what we're supposed to look like when it's done, the end of our lives, then how in the world can we live a life of significance? Because we don't even know what we're shooting at. We don't even know who we are. Now, again, you can't find it out from tests. I don't think you can find it out necessarily by asking all your friends what you're good at. They're not going to be honest with you anyway. But it's going to the Lord and saying, God, I really want to know, what am I here for? What is your design for my life? What is it that if I do it, my life will have meaning? It'll become what you want it to be. It's a simple question, but it's not a question that you're probably going to find a simple answer to. And I would suggest for most of us, if we think we have the answer to that already, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Because God's plan for us is glorious and complicated, and it changes and adjusts, and there's so much more to it than we sometimes think. And it's not even in getting the answer so much as it is in asking the question that puts our life in a place where we can begin to discover, what's the end? What's this supposed to be like? So don't trip out over the fact that, but I don't even know what I'm supposed to be or what God wants to do in me. But like David, ask that question. Ask it often. Ask it in as many different ways as you can. Go off and get alone with the Lord and just mull over this, reflect on this, consider this. Because the question may be more important than the answer. To ask, okay, God, what do you want from me? He'll speak to you, and he'll give you a part of the picture. Ultimately, it's only when you're finished that it all develops. But I guarantee if you're not asking this question of God, then you're settling for something less than what the answer is to this question, the end that God has for your life. And so he says, Lord, make me to know my end. Secondly, he says, and what's the measure of my days? This is a little bit different because he's taking the idea of measuring as dividing up, planning. What he's saying now is, I think, something that's in light of the first question. In light of the fact that you have an end in mind, in light of the fact that you have a reason why you put me here, and you have a design on your blueprint that shows what you're building in my life. Now he says, but also, I need to measure my days. I need to start to live my days in light of what the first question is asking. Okay, God, if this is my end, now what do I do today? Annie Dillard said one time, she said, the way that we spend our days is, of course, the way that we spend our life. And that sounds so simplistic that you'd think, why would you even remember that quote? But think about it. And in the context, she was saying that when she gets up in the morning to decide what to do, she realizes the way we spend our days is, of course, the way we spend our life. See, we have that big life picture. God, what's our end? But now beyond that, he's going, what are you going to do today that's connected with that end that God is designing? It's going to fit in. That's going to contribute. What can you do now that fits in with that end? Because the truth is, what you do today is what you will become. What we do today, how we live our life today, decisions we make today, things that we say and things that we do, things that we neglect, that's what our life is ultimately. Life doesn't begin somewhere down the road. It's not going to just happen. It starts now. And as David was very well aware, it's a handbreadth, it's a vapor. Our life is so short. We can't afford to not realize that we're not just practicing for something later. Right now, we are living our life. Today is where it starts. What was that old poster that said, this is the first day of the rest of your life? Corny, but true. Profound, really. In that what we do now, how we measure our life now, if it's connected with our end, it'll be successful. It'll be blessed. But if we waste, if what we decide to do today has no connection to who we are ultimately supposed to become, then we're just one day closer to failure, to frustration, to coming short of that which God wants to do in our lives. And so, as David said, let me see the end, but also, as I have that kind of vision, that telescopic vision, also give me this microscopic vision where I can look at today and say, how do I dole out what I can do today to cause it to fit for the end, for eternity, for something that goes beyond who I am? And that's another question. The one question, what's my end? We should be asking in an ongoing dialogue with the Lord constantly. But what's the measure of today? Those are those decisions that we make. Now again, it's not to say that don't waste a second. For instance, if you're going to have an end that comes when it's supposed to, you need to take time to rest. You need to take time to eat. You need to take time to exercise. You need to take time to just sit and relax and unwind and all of those things. It's not a how much can I cram. In fact, the idea of measuring your days is doling it out. It's planning them in such a way that you spread it out. It's not that you're just seeing how much you can cram into a short life. It's saying, boy, in light of the shortness of my life and the length of eternity, I need to consider what I can do right now that's going to make a difference. The reason that we are so busy in our lives, the reason that we run ourselves so ragged, is probably at least a two-pronged problem. And the first one is we don't even know what our end is. We don't even know what we're called to do. So we just do a little of everything. And as a result, our days get chewed up with things that don't fit with the end. But the second problem is we aren't even considering whether what we are committing to has anything at all to do with what we are ultimately called to do. And so it's this connection between our end, who we are created to be, and our decisions, our schedule, our time. As those fit together, we can stay on track. But you can't do this yourself. It's not as simple as just buying a Palm Pilot or, you know, going down to the Franklin store and getting a book that's going to organize you. That doesn't work. But it's ultimately accepting the reality and asking God to help us to have the kind of perspective that things that don't fit in the painting that God is creating just are pushed out of the way. And that he even causes us to lose interest in things that are distractions. And instead, we, on a daily basis, as well as on a global, lifelong basis, we commit ourselves to investing our time, our days, doling them out in support of and in conjunction with the calling that God has on our lives.
That's Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word as we've been studying Psalm 39 today. We've dealt with some heavy questions. Some that many of us wrestle with, like, what's the point of life? What's God's will for me? And is this all there is? Pastor Dave will be right back with some concluding thoughts, so stick around for that. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too. ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Returning now to The Balanced Word to encourage us to know our limitations, here's Pastor Dave Rolfe once again.
And so he says, Lord, make me know my end and what's the measure of my days. And then he says, that I may know how frail I am. The third point that he brings up and that he prays about, God, help me to know how frail I am. Another way of putting this would be, I need to know my limitations. I need to know not just what I can do, but I need to accept what I can't do. Another thing that we chew up time on is when we're trying to do something, we're striving to make it happen, we're trying to force it. because we really believe that we're supposed to do it. We really believe that we need to do it. Chewing up valuable resources and time and energy, doing things that ultimately don't work. Now, there are things to be learned from failure, no doubt about it. But one of the first things we ought to learn from failure is, I need to listen to God. I need to be praying for Him to measure my days out so that I don't invest my life in something that I'm not really called to do. So that I don't spend all of my time trying to accomplish something that isn't going to happen. I need to realize, God, how frail I am. I need to know and accept the fact that there are some things I can't do.
A good word there for us as we close. Know your limitations. And we'll elaborate on that tomorrow. The Balanced Word is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.